The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Wednesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. I was in Shreveport last night at Broadmoor Baptist Church there in Shreveport, and we had a wonderful time talking to the good folks there, and very welcoming and just a great place to be. And I talked about Acts chapter 4. I talked about the courage of a good soldier. It is important for us as soldiers in the Lord's army to be men and women, boys and girls, who recognize that we are to suffer hardship, as Paul said, as good soldiers of Christ Jesus, that we are indeed in the Lord's army, and our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We don't fight against any individual per se. We know that the fight is against these demonic forces. The whole world, the Bible says, lies in the power of the evil one, 1 John 5:19. The world is cradled in the lap of the devil, so to speak. And the Bible tells us that we are to yield ourselves to the Lord, Romans 12:1. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. The devil's constantly trying to conform us to this world, and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, if you want to make a difference for Jesus Christ, one of the things that is critical is courage. If you don't have courage, it was Winston Churchill said, courage is the most important virtue, because courage is what enables all the other virtues to come to the forefront. If you don't have courage, if you flee from the battle, then you can't make a difference. I love what Charlie Kirk said. He's one of those He was one of those guys that was courageous. He wanted to be known for being a person of courageous faith. I want people to know that I was courageous in my faith. And he died doing what God called him to do, lifting up the name of Jesus and lifting up the freedoms that we enjoy here in America. And he is an example of what we should be. Now, he said in one of his back and forths, he said, we're called to be salt and light. Everybody knows that. The Lord said that. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You're the salt of the earth. And if salt loses its savor, its saltiness, it's good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And so Charlie makes the point that, listen, you have to, salt and light change the environment that they're in. When you flip on the light, all of a sudden, and if you've been in darkness a long time and the light comes on, it hurts your eyes. You have a wound and you put in salt, it's going to burn in that wound. Now, it burns in order to bring healing, but you're going to notice the salt. You're going to notice the light. Those things aren't unnoticeable. Now, it's always a pleasure for me to welcome my friend Rod Martin to the program. Rod is the founder and CEO of Martin Capital. He calls himself a philosopher capitalist. He has great insights, rodmartin.org. I like to follow him on the X platform. And so, Rod, you can hear me now, can't you, my friend?
I can, and I actually don't call myself a philosopher capitalist. The Guardian did that. It was really encouraging. They wrote a hit piece on Peter Thiel and several of the rest of us, and somehow labeled me a philosopher capitalist, whom Thiel especially admires. So I thought that was super amusing.
Okay, well, that's kind of a cool little moniker. And I noticed you added the hat. I like the hat, Rod.
Well, thank you. It was a hat day, and we're here in Florida, right beside the Gulf of America.
Yes, there you go. Okay, so Rod, it's been a week now since the murder by assassination of Charlie Kirk. It happened a week ago today, right early afternoon, and lots of things have been said. We're still grieving. We're still reeling from what has taken place. So after you've had these days to process, give me where you are in the aftermath of this shooting.
Well, first of all, my condolences to the Kirk family. Charlie was 31 years old, just at the beginning of his career and life. And yet at the same time, he had accomplished more in the preceding 10 or so years than most people ever will in their life. He had two beautiful children and a beautiful wife who, as we all saw a few days ago, is stunningly articulate herself, and they're grieving. And it is truly, truly tragic, as are a lot of my friends on the Turning Point board and otherwise involved. You said that, you know, salt heals, but it hurts. Yeah. while it does so. The FBI is also going to hurt some people. And that has to happen. And I thought that J.D. Vance and Stephen Miller's comments were spot on. These are extensive, decentralized, but exceedingly well-funded domestic terror networks. And we have watched them openly advocate what they call direct action, which includes and praises and glorifies violent acts now for years, and it's not even new. I mean, we saw this in the 60s. We saw it in the 70s. In the 1970s, left-wing terror groups such as the Weather Underground and the Black Panthers carried out 500 terror bombings in the United States per year for an entire decade. This is not actually new. And for the people who say, oh, well, this is a both sides problem. Look, I'm not saying that nobody on the right has ever killed anybody. That's not my point. My point is it's been a week, and we haven't seen a single city burn. We haven't seen a single Tesla or even a Ben and Jerry's firebombed. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a single revenge killing. What we've seen is prayer vigils. We have seen churches filled. My church, I think we had twice as many people on Sunday as we normally do for this time of year. And people are absolutely responding in the way that they should. That is radically different than 200 days in 2020 of cities burning down. And, you know, the response to ICE doing just basic enforcement in Los Angeles gave us days of riots and burning of buildings and cars and all these terrible things. That has to stop. And speaking of those riots in 2020, in every one of those cities, at key moments, huge pallets of bricks just show up conveniently in the dark of night. Those things are expensive. Those did not get paid for by some Antifa thugs. There are people behind this. Mm-hmm. There are people encouraging this with a tremendous amount of money. That's a RICO case at worst, and it may be more than that. So I am thrilled to hear that the FBI is finally going to take seriously the true domestic terrorism in this country. And lest any of your hearers misunderstand, if they want to go after the Klan, I'm all for that too. There's no room in America for political violence ever.
Right. Well, the Klan was started by the Democrats. And I don't know who still runs the Klan, but it was the Democrats were the ones that, that came up with that idea, weren't they?
Not only did they, but they led it. Senior Democrats were members of the Klan well into the 1960s. You could go in the 60s. I wasn't born yet. I was born in 69, but I know a few people who are older than me, and they will tell you that you could go down to a gas station in this part of the world, and there would be a Klan offering plate basically at the cash register. This was a deep and deep-seated terrorist group that was run by senior officials of the Democratic Party, which is why they put on hoods. They didn't want to be identified, but everybody knew. I actually did my thesis, you may recall, on the enfranchisement of blacks in Arkansas in the 1960s. And that was an oral history project. I went around interviewing all these old timers who had been involved in all of that. And a lot of them were black preachers. And you know, they told stories that would just curl people's hair. It was horrifying. The barn burnings, the beatings, the rapes, the things that were done to keep people in line. And that's what Antifa is doing now. That's what this decentralized terror group is doing now. I'm proud to be a member of a political party that's never had its own terror wing. And I think the Democrats ought to do some introspection and disavow that and walk away from that. We have room to discuss literally anything under heaven in this country. We can talk about anything. We can persuade people to go our way. What we can't do is kill them when they say something that we don't like. And not only that, but we can't let regular people be subject to the kind of violence that Irina Zarudzka faced in Charlotte, North Carolina. That is just as bad in its own way. It cows down normal people. It's horribly wrong. We know how to make these cities safe. Donald Trump just proved that in D.C. It's a justice issue. It has to stop, and the pulpits have to say so.
Right. One of the things, Rod, that's been bothering me is some of these guys that were, you know, pastors coming online during the George Floyd thing, silence is violence and all that stuff. Have you seen those guys talk about Irina Zarudzka and her murder and say, I mean, that was obviously a racist act. That guy said, I got that white girl. Have you seen that on social media?
No. And it's kind of horrifying. We actually had a NAM church planter more or less justifying Charlie Kirk's murder the other day. And I don't understand how Kevin Azell can allow that to go on for 10 seconds. So what is wrong with our North American Mission Board that can happen and not receive an instant condemnation? No, we had guys out kneeling in the streets in the BLM riots, not preaching against the riots, preaching against the people the riots were targeting. And now we have silence from a lot of those same people, if not most of them. That's horrifying. And it just tells you there's more of the culture in the church than there is church in the culture. That's got to change. And I think it was very encouraging this weekend to see these massive turnouts in our churches looking for answers, looking for the faith that many of them abandoned years ago. I had several people say they hadn't been in church in 20 years, but they felt like they needed to be there now. And clearly the world is more serious than they were thinking of it as being. These are the right things. And the shepherds now have to actually shepherd and not gloss it over.
Amen to that. I told the church last night at Broadmoor, I said, you know, we have to be courageous, and it starts in the pulpit. It starts with pastors standing up and speaking up and telling people the truth. And all this stuff, Rod, we'll get into this when we come back from the break, but the word nuanced, we hear that all the time. And in these guys that are supposedly so smart, and they're just kind of dancing around things, and people are in the pew scratching their head saying, well, I don't really know what we're supposed to believe or think. I'm not like that. I'm as nuanced as a sledgehammer. People need to know this is right and this is wrong. And until we start really putting it out there for folks so nobody walks away wondering, oh, I'm not really sure, we're going to be in trouble. So that's the point of this program, Real Truth for Today. We want to put it out there and let you know, thus says the Lord. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking to Rod Martin. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my friend Rod Martin. We're talking about the aftermath of Charlie Kirk. Today marks 1 week since his murder by assassination. I ran across this on the X platform just yesterday. Thought it was really interesting. It answered this question: what would Charlie Kirk say if he could speak to us today? Obviously, it's AI, but man, I thought this was really powerful.
This young woman asked AI, what would Charlie say right now?
First, I want you to know I'm fine, not because my body is fine, but because my soul is secure in Christ. Death is not the end. It's a promotion. Don't waste 1 second mourning me. I knew the risks of standing up in this cultural moment, and I'd do it all over again. Second, do not let this violence divide us further. The enemy wants chaos, fear, and retaliation. Don't give it to them. Instead, double down on truth. Double down on courage. Double down on your faith and on your families. That is how you honor me. Third, remember this. America is worth it. Free speech is worth it. Fighting for the unborn, for families, for sanity in a culture gone mad, it is all worth it. So dry your tears, pick up your cross, and get back in the fight. Do it with joy, do it with strength, and never ever let evil think it won.
That's exactly what he'd say.
Rob, that's powerful, and I think that's pretty accurate. What do you say?
Well, that is exactly what he'd say. And look, you and I were talking during the break about the fact that there's a really significant cultural moment here. Charlie's organization was called Turning Point, and that's exactly what this is, a turning point, because normal people understand something that the elites seem to have forgotten, which is there is a big, bright red line between violent disagreement and actual violence. Now, the elites have forgotten it, and they've taught that that's not true. They've taught that speech is violence. They've taught microaggressions. They've taught grievance culture. The highest thing you can be in America today is a victim, because that is the express teaching of critical race theory, radical feminism, queer theory, post-colonial theory, all of these subsets of critical theory that you and I have been battling now for years. All of them express this intersectional idea that the lowliest minority is the most oppressed and therefore the most virtuous, that they never, ever are able to sin, and those who are defined as the oppressors are never, ever able to repent. So there's no redemption in this system. It is antithetical to Christianity. And normal people look at that and say, huh? This is crazy. And when it actually translates into direct action, which is what they advocate, that's the term they use, which includes violence, when they're actually saying that and acting on it, normal people look at that and recoil. And I think there's a real opportunity for conservatives and Christians to make this case that political violence is always wrong, And no, you don't get to be a teacher advocating or cheering for this assassination, because if you have political violence, free speech is impossible. Only the strong are allowed to speak in a system where you're going to get shot if you do speak. Mm-hmm. By the way, one last note on that. Charlie Kirk wasn't just a political assassination victim. Charlie Kirk was a Christian martyr. The last full thought that he expressed in this life was the gospel. And he had been preaching the gospel better than a lot of preachers I know for the last 5 or so years, just relentlessly evangelizing. That's one of the reasons that he was a target, because we're seeing those numbers move dramatically among Gen Z men, especially. They're coming back to church, they're abandoning the left, and the left is freaking out. And so we may see more violence before this gets better, but we just have to be steadfast and resolute that discussion is always permitted, violence is never permitted.
Rod, it seems to me that, you know, you have people on the left that have been fomenting this racist, Nazi, fascist threat to democracy, I mean, for years, just constantly. And the things, you know, somebody's got to put a bullet in Donald Trump's head. Well, one guy tried, and it had not, had God not intervened, Donald Trump would be dead. And for purposes maybe we don't understand, God didn't intervene in this situation with Charlie Kirk, and now Charlie Kirk's in heaven. But it seems to me it's almost like what Hamas did in Israel. We're going to attack you, commit these acts that are just covered in satanic fuel. And the things that they did were just beyond description. I mean, it's like, what kind of depravity does that? And then to celebrate and call your parents and they kill another Jew, you know, that kind of attitude. And then when Israel wants to fight back, then they want to say, hey, time out. We need to lower the temperature and we need to, ratchet everything down. It's like, hey, you don't get to do that. You know, you punch us and we're going to come back at you. And it seems like, give me your opinion, seems like people on the left are like, hey, you folks on the right, you need to tone this down. President Trump, you need to tone this down. J.D. Vance, you need to tone this down. You can't go after these, your political opponents, like you're talking about George Soros or whoever. And let's get back to this civil discourse and just... let's get around the campfire and sing Kumbaya. And some pastors seem to buy into that. You know, as the Charlie Kirk AI said, hey, we need to double down on courage. We need to double down on preaching the truth and telling people this is right. Thus says the Lord. And this isn't a time to back off and say, okay, well, we'll just hold hands and everything will be fine.
Well, I know a lot of Democrats, and I do mean a lot of Democrats all across this country, who call themselves socialists, who call themselves activists, engaged in direct action, all these different things that mean very specific things. I have yet to meet a Republican who considered himself a Nazi or a fascist. That just doesn't happen. So when we describe somebody by their own chosen terminology, that's meaningfully different than when they describe us as literally Hitler. And there's no question what they're trying to do when they do that. They're not saying that we believe any of the ideological points in Mein Kampf, if they've read it, because we don't. We believe in the exact opposite of those things. Mm-hmm. And if we didn't, cities would be burning right now, and we'd be assassinating a bunch of leftists. I mean, it's just painfully obvious that this isn't who we are. So, having said that, you're in a position where they accuse us of whataboutism and they accuse us of projection while they project and while they try to justify punching us in the face, and then it's somehow our fault. And Blue Sky in particular is just filled with Democrats talking about how it's not only Charlie Kirk's fault, but who do we need to kill next? And mm-hmm. they've got lists.
huge lists. And I assure you, your pastor is going to be on that list eventually if this gets out of hand. You're exactly right to invoke Hamas. This is where this goes. If you condone political violence, if you allow it to exist, if you allow the people who fund it to get away unscathed, you end up in the kind of civil war that Lebanon had after being a peaceful place for decades. All of a sudden, they have a civil war starting in 1975 that isn't over really even today. And you know, you have the same thing in Gaza. You have the same thing in lots of parts of the world. We see what happened in Rwanda. We see what happened in Germany. You know, it's not limited to any one part of the world. Where civil society breaks down, where the commitment to discuss everything and punish nothing in a violent fashion, where that commitment diminishes, society breaks down, children, women, the elderly, nobody's safe because only the strong survive that. It is entirely Nietzschean and it must be stopped.
Rod, let me ask you about this. With legacy media, because, you know, we've seen some sickening things. MSNBC's is horrible. CNN's horrible. But ABC, NBC, CBS, all the legacy media outlets, it seems like they can't slit their throats fast enough with the way they report this stuff. Eventually, I mean, even the diehard Democrats aren't going to listen to them. How do you look, get out your crystal ball and look down the road 3 to 5 years from now? Are those places still reporting the news? Well, their version of the news?
I think that they are sowing the seeds of their own demise in many respects. And we see that not in some violent fashion, as they in many cases have cheered, but in a shift of 4.5 million voter registrations from Democrat to Republican in just the last 8 months. There is a significant movement in this country, and Charlie Kirk was a big part of it, mm-hmm. that is rejecting this kind of extremism. And extremism is one of the several right words for this. It is absolutely wicked, and it's beyond the pale. It is not something that can be allowed. You can discuss anything. You can't hit, punch, kill anybody. That's not okay. And when that gets lost, everything disintegrates. And I keep coming back to, the pastors are going to be a primary target of this if it spins any further out of control. Because the people they hate the most are the people advocating the things from their pulpits that you do. Mm-hmm. And that's just simply going to be ugly and bloody. And we saw that again in Lebanon. They went after the pastors first. And so we have to actually get a handle on this. The FBI knows how. And I think under Kash Patel and Dan Bongino, we will see some tremendous progress on this. It will take a while. It won't happen overnight. But I think we're going to clean up America. And the mainstream media can get on that train or they can get left behind. And I think they will ultimately lose a lot of their audience because they're losing people like Elon Musk and Bill Maher and sane liberals who are just like, no more, and moving to the right. Bill Maher is never going to become a Republican like right. Elon did. But Bill Maher is one of the best advocates for civil society we have today. And that's absolutely out of step with his party.
Well, it seems to me, Rod, for like guys like Bill Maher, the transgender insanity, he can't go with that. And that seems to have hijacked the Democrat Party. And if you don't get in line with biological males playing female sports and all those kinds of things, and then you can't be on the team. Piers Morgan I've seen some clips. I don't know if you've seen these recently, where he's had these transgender people on there. And this person says, well, I'm non-binary. And he's like, well, what does that mean? And the person can't answer it. They're just offended that he would ask them that. And, you know, it's like if you go that way, obviously this person that killed Charlie Kirk was in a romantic relationship with a biological male who's transitioning to be a female. I mean, you got the trans insanity that's
possible.
Yeah, if that were possible. The trans insanity is baked into his psyche at that point. It seems like that seems to be the tipping point for a lot of the Democrats to say, I can't go along with this. How do you see it?
Well, there are two aspects of this, and one is very practical and one is very theological. On the practical side, when you pump very disturbed people full of hormones that they shouldn't get and drugs that they shouldn't have, and you tell them that you're going to solve all their problems by lopping off body parts that can never be returned, you're going to create a very volatile mix. And we need to look at that. There were no clinical trials on transitioning. There was no safety study. This just all gets done, and you're the bad guy for opposing it. Mm-hmm. That's insanity, and normal people know it's insanity. The theological aspect, though, is actually worse. The theological aspect is that transgenderism is Eve in the garden, you know, Satan telling her half God said, and Eve deciding, nah, I think I'm going to decide what's right and wrong. That's what this is. It's not just an assertion of their right to determine what is right and wrong. It's an assertion of their right to determine what is real and what is not. And that just flows straight from the postmodernist mess we've had for several decades now. The idea that you can have your truth and someone else can have their truth and they don't have to match up. No, there is actually truth. And it actually is Jesus Christ, the way and the truth and the life. Mm-hmm. And that's what they hate above all else. So, from a theological perspective, we have an opportunity, because of their extremist violence, to finally have that conversation in a bigger way and say, look, their worldview is incompatible with people living their lives. And it's a shame that, you know, they may want to do something that maybe the rest of us don't want to do, and maybe they don't get to. But sorry, we have lots of classes of things like that, such as pedophilia, such as, you know, axe murdering. You know, just because you want to do something doesn't give you a right to do it.
Yeah. Let me jump in here, Rod, because we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Love to hear from you. We're talking to Rod Martin. You're listening to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve right here on American Family Radio.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe. But did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to my friend Rod Martin. We've been talking about Charlie Kirk and political violence. And we always like in this last segment to open up the phone lines to you, our listeners. So if you'd like to ask a question or if you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. 8840. Rod, before we go to the phones, I know you follow the economic side of things in America, and wanted to get just briefly your opinion on how Trump is doing with the economy.
Well, as we were discussing during the break, I think what we're seeing is we're in a supply side boom. There's a tremendous amount of investment. Trump has pledges of $10 trillion of investment. That's a third of the size of the entire American economy in new manufacturing here and other services that support it. So it takes a minute for that to kick in, but the spending is there. There will be more spending after we get a rate cut. We need about a 300 basis point rate cut at the Fed. We're actually probably going to get 25 basis points today. But I expect another 25 basis points at their next meeting, another 25 basis points at their next meeting. I think we will get in the right direction reasonably quickly. And the truth is, we're set up, despite all this fake reporting by the Bureau of Labor Statistics and honestly by the Federal Reserve itself that is finally being rooted out. They inflated jobs numbers by nearly a million last year to help Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. It's absolutely corrupt. And we're rooting that out. We're getting better people in place so the data will drive better decision making in the private sector, but and government sector for that matter. But the bottom line there is that we are on track. If we continue down the path that the president has set up, I believe for 4% GDP growth on an annual basis, which just to give you one idea of what that's worth, that is a number so high that you not only eliminate the deficit in very rapid order, you start meaningfully paying down the national debt and getting America's house in order.
That would be good. All right. Well, we're going to the phone lines, and we have Chris on the line from Texas. Chris, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was a big Charlie Kirk fan. I adored him. I listened to him every day. I was texting friends about him and his conversation on the night before, and I found out that he had been shot. But my question is, I have friends who are claiming that Candace Owens is saying she has information on Charlie Kirk, that he was visiting with some people in the Hamptons, and that she's getting incriminating evidence. And it's something to do with Bibi Netanyahu, who tried to talk to him a couple weeks before. I was fortunate. I live in the Dallas area. I saw an article where a Rabbi Wolnicki said that he had a Zoom call with Charlie the night before, which was a week ago last night. He was the last meeting he had with him, and it was with several other people that were just wanting to talk to him, and he had questions. And so he returned to them. And he planned that Zoom meeting the night before his death, his last meeting. And I was fortunate to go to a meeting last night where he was there speaking. So I went up to him and asked him, I said, what do you know about this? And he said, yeah, there was a meeting, that he did have this meeting, and that all these things are false. He did have questions about things, but he would go to find the answer. So what do you think about this Candace Owens spewing things like, another is, I know who's going to try to take his place. And she thinks she's referring to Ben Shapiro, who she was her old boss. Mm-hmm. And she's just spewing all kinds of things. Have you heard this? And what's your thoughts?
Yeah, Rod, what do you make of Candace Owens these days?
I'm really disappointed. She's so gifted and she's so capable. And she's just a beautiful young woman and, you know, winning personality, all these gifts. And she's just gone off the deep end. And to a lesser degree, so has Tucker Carlson of late. And I saw him say some really good things about Charlie this week. But, you know, it's just been really disappointing. And I didn't hear everything that your caller was saying because it was breaking up a little bit, at least on my end. But but I would say that Charlie Kirk talked to everybody. There is nobody Charlie Kirk didn't want to talk to and find common ground and find a way for them to understand each other. And that's what America really is about, finding that consensus, finding that common ground, and where necessary, agreeing to disagree, but running society freely through discourse, not violence. And so I'm sure Charlie was talking to a lot of people. I didn't hear every detail of what you were saying about that, but Charlie talked to everybody, and it made a difference.
Rod, I've heard things like Jeffrey Epstein was a plant of Mossad, and Israel's involved in some of these things, and you know, I think that's what is being insinuated, these conspiracy theories. Have you heard that?
I've heard it, but I just think it's nonsense. I don't see how the evidence supports any of that. And of course, Alan Dershowitz was Epstein's lawyer. He says he has seen the list such as it is. And, you know, Trump is not on it, and Epstein had no dealings with Mossad and so forth. Well, okay, you have to trust Alan Dershowitz on that, and maybe you don't. But I feel very strongly that there is a host of people in Washington who have a strong interest in demonizing their opponents and using Epstein to do so. And if they had anything concrete, and they should, if there is anything, they'd have used it years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Well, Chris, I appreciate the call. I think that was a good question for sure. Well, we have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you very much. And I just want to say good morning and praise the Lord. I have oftentimes tried to listen to your show, Pastor Shreve, but now I really appreciate the title. Because real truth is, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, we can lose when we look down and we look sideways to the people around us. It's sometimes we're not carrying our light high and we're not focusing on what Charlie was really great at doing. So I wanted to thank you for two things, that you played the AI clip because it brought tears to my eyes. That I really do feel like that's what Charlie would say. Mm-hmm. And so as we, like, I think of kitchen table talk with you guys this morning and real early morning honesty, that I really appreciate the discussion because that's what a lot of us Americans and Christians need. Mm-hmm. I've even had conversations with people from high school about this past killing and other deaths from our high school that just happens to be in the same week. And so in this, it's bringing people together and talking about these issues. And I think of one analogy. So I just wanted to say I will be praying for you guys, people who are more vulnerable and in the limelight. Of course, we need to go forth with love and the sword, which is the Bible. But the image that has come in my mind ever since it happened was how some flatworms, it's not all worms, but when they get cut in half or lose a part, they regrow. And so that's what this has happened. It's multiplying more Charlie Kirk. So I just praise Jesus that he has, and God's plan to use Charlie in this way, as tragic and heartbreaking as it is, I will continue to pray for you guys and all those who are more in the limelight. So thank you for this conversation this morning.
Thank you, Robin. That's very sweet. I appreciate that so much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Dee on the line from North Carolina. Dee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Thank you for your program. I have learned so much truth from your program. So your title for your program is absolutely appropriate. So thank you for that. And thank you for the courage. Because more and more today, we are seeing that it takes courage to stand up for what is truth. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thank you for that first. And then I just see a difference in ABC and how since Robert Redford died, already they have a remembrance that is happening tonight that they are broadcasting and, you know, overshadowing or trying to overshadow, but they can't, the great things that Charlie Kirk did. I like some Robert Redford movies, but I can't say that he ever did anything that would change my life. listening to Charlie Kirk, even as a Christian, just to reinforce the truth that we all know. But he had the courage to stand up and to speak about it, and that is why he was murdered. But I just saw the bias, and it just, to me, it was a juxtaposition that the Lord was saying, take a look at this, and this is what you're thinking, what you guys are doing, and speaking out about Charlie Kirk is the absolute right thing to do at this time.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Dee. So Rod, she was saying that the mainstream media is trying to shift from Charlie Kirk to Robert Redford, and, you know, Robert Redford was an actor, as she astutely said. Well, I liked some of his movies, maybe The Sting especially, but he didn't do anything to change my life. Charlie Kirk was speaking. Go ahead.
I love The Natural, but I think I could have lived just fine without it. You know, it's just a great movie. The director's cut was terrible, but they fixed that and re-released the theatrical release. That's great. Yay for Robert Redford. But Charlie Kirk was actually doing something that mattered with right. his life. He wasn't just an entertainer. He was engaging in these hard debates. He was going to places where he wasn't welcome to have real discussions with real people. And he was presenting the gospel. He wasn't being wishy-washy. You know, some of the pastors you were talking about earlier, Jeff, have been just completely weather vanes. Wherever the wind is blowing, mm-hmm. that's where they are. Charlie was never that. He had strong opinions, but he was absolutely willing to hear other people's strong opinions and discuss, and again, try to find common ground where possible. That is the American ideal. And America got that ideal from Christianity. We must assert it, we must stand on it, and we must guard the boundaries around it.
Okay, so Rod, let me ask you this. With pastors trying to, you know, we're here to love people and we're here to share the love of Jesus, you know, they kind of go that route real fast. And they don't want, you know, we want to tone down the temperature and to, you know, just be conciliatory and nice and listen to these people. It's like, you know, J.D. Vance was or J.D. Greer talking about, you know, in love, we ought to use these people's preferred pronouns and all that. I mean, it just makes me want to throw up. Do you see more guys saying, hey, I'm going to take up the mantle of speaking the truth in all caps in love, but really standing for truth, as opposed to what some of those guys that want to just kind of dance around the thing?
Yeah, we can have this discussion with anybody, but we shouldn't tell lies, things we know to be false, to make somebody else feel good. We are told to love our neighbor, not make our neighbor feel good. And Jesus was absolutely painstakingly clear on this point that, you know, he's there to actually cause division, to actually make people confront what they actually believe and what they ought to believe. And, you know, he's the most loving person in the history of the world. So I don't really see where pastors of all people make this mistake. The weather vane thing is just, it's always wrong, but they need to wake up to what time it is. We are at a moment in this country where people who hate Christianity, hate Christians, and especially hate pastors, any evangelist, anything like that, mm-hmm. are willing to kill you for it. And if they can't speak to that problem today, when are they going to? And the answer, of course, is never. So it's time to stand on what is true and defend civil society, defend religious freedom, defend free speech, and actually stand for something and not just try to pack out your balcony.
Yeah, good point. Well, Rod, in the midst of all of this, are you encouraged that God is going to use this for good?
Yes. And I think he already is. Now, it's a horrifying loss. You know, Charlie had gifts that I never met anybody who had gifts like that. And he was a gifted organizer beyond what Saul Alinsky was able to do on the left, which is saying a lot. And, right. you know, he just, I don't know how you replace him. as the leader, but I do know that this outpouring of faith we're seeing, these churches full, all these incredible things that are coming to pass in the aftermath of the wake-up call of his assassination are entirely positive for the culture, and I think we're going to have a reckoning. I think things are going to get better.
Amen. Well, that was Rod Martin. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.